You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The entire crew is here, starting off with my man, Longevity. How are you, sir?
Doing all right, Michael.
How are you? Thank you.
Yep.
It warms my heart, man. I'm glad that you're doing okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Good to see you, my friend, as always. Across the table, fresh to death, as always, with exclusive hockey jerseys. My man, Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
As always, blessed and highly vaccinated.
Okay. I can dig it. To my immediate left, DJ J Div. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good your way?
Yep. Everything's great and kosher.
Yeah. I saw you spinning some records, man. You do a good job at spinning records.
Well, you know, I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm a fan. It might not seem like it on the show, but I'm a fan.
Was that a self-report?
Yeah,
it was.
I'm getting there. I'm better. I'm growing.
Okay, growing.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You have to. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Man. You know, you have to just look at yourself in the mirror sometime and look at your flaws. So.
Yeah, Michael Jackson had a song called Man in the Mirror.
He did. I'm getting there. Baby steps, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad y'all acknowledge that. That makes me feel better. Take a look at yourself.
And make that change.
Talk to him. I like it. Red August is in the building as well. He is eating, what is that, a can of biscuits or something? Red August is in the building. Shout out to the homie Red August.
He's just eating them raw.
Weird. Look like a can of biscuits. He's in a building on-site production as always. We appreciate you, brother. Found out Red August is, he hates KRS-One. He got his blood pressure went up. We're going to talk about, you know, verses and stuff, but dang, I didn't know it was that bad. Like, he said he really put his hands on KRS-One, man.
Hands and feet.
Hands and feet. Put foots in KRS-One. I didn't even realize.
KRS-One must have a flashback and thank you, PM Dawn, and really fan
my ass. Is it my turn?
Is it Red August's turn? Yeah. I see you. Well played, sir.
KRS-One was the one that was like caping for Bambaataa after all the stuff came out, right?
Don't do this.
I don't remember.
Oh yes. There's an interview where he really was. He was fighting off everything that the interviewer was throwing at him. Like, there's a video.
I can't be mad at him for that, based off of when it came out and a lot of stuff hadn't been leaked or put on Front Street yet. He has not doubled back and went back to that defense.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Because they actually have some new allegations against him.
You know, when you have new information, you know, it's different. So
but
sometimes
the interview that Lone is talking about, or the one I saw.
Oh, I do remember that.
He was staunch with it, though.
This was years ago, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
They got some new allegations.
Because remember, I don't know if you guys remember, like, Bambaataa was supposed to come here and play the Jazz Kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, word?
And I remember, God bless the dead, Indiana Jones was one of the promoters on that. And then, like, he was like, yeah, we're going to pull back from this until we kind of get some clarity.
Was that kind of recently? Like within the last...
That was probably about four or five years
ago.
That's probably
5 years ago.
Yeah. It's crazy that that's kind of recently to me.
Yeah, KRS wasn't on the interview I saw.
I remember that.
He wasn't going.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now, you haven't heard any Zulu Nation shows either.
Nah.
No, I mean, I have people in the Zulu Nation, but, you know, they don't rep that like they, you know.
Like it used to be, right?
No.
So, I got a random, I just found something that was random, and I know especially Red, not Red August, but he's in the sneakers. Jay Moore, I think you're in the sneakers. Lone,
not really.
He said, okay.
I get my tennis shoes from Shoe Carnival.
Here's my thing.
I was like, what do they got in here for $39.99 that'll match most of my outfits that I can wear that I can run in and wear to the club?
Here's my thing. Shaq, I think it was a couple months ago, he acquired like pretty much a majority stock or ownership close to it in Reebok.
Yeah, I saw that.
Obviously, we know Shaq, when he came out, Shaq Gnosis, if you follow shoes, he had a couple dope.
Shaq Gnosis weren't the ones you should mention, though.
Oh, the pumps is the one I should mention, but the Shaq Gnosis, I fool with them.
Shaq Gnosis were trash.
Don't do that.
They were absolutely
the Shaq Gnosis was not trash.
Trash
was not trash.
Yeah, if you go, if you had a chance to get those in the care and the pennies before there was the phone,
I get the pennies.
You were not getting the Shaq Gnosis.
I know enough about shoes to know that. Listen, even
Shoe Carnival. Well, you ain't got a deal. You still know that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Back in high school, if you had Shaq Gnosis, that just meant that you were a big Shaquille O'Neal fan.
Don't do that.
You were not buying Shaq Gnosis based on the fly.
You can go right now on StockX and see Shaq Gnosis $550.
Okay. Didn't he sell them at Walmart?
No, that's the Shaq brand. Yeah, we talking about the Reebok.
Shaq Gnosis were Reebok.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The Shaq brand, no, I ain't mad at him for the Shaq brand. It's affordable
shoes.
Those
were so whack.
Well, the Shaq brand was.
Yeah, those are affordable, but the Shaq Gnosis was cold. They $550, $600
right now.
Those
are the black and white ones, right? Yeah. It's got the.
Centers can't sell shoes.
And the pumps was cold, but my thing is, if he has a majority stake or close to it in Reebok, think about the shoes that came out, Sean Kemp, obviously AI. Like, can Shaq revive Reebok? Because Reebok is never
the right word.
Well, they've been dropping those.
No, but what I'm saying is, like,
no, it's still no.
Never know, though.
What I'm saying, look, I'm not talking about from
Jay
a
stepped into a side point with Puma, and Puma has made leaps and bounds over the past probably 5 to 6 years. Because
they've made it a lifestyle brand.
Terry, that's what I'm saying.
As opposed to an athletic, like, the thing is, if you want to really make moves in the athletic wear marketplace, you still have to be associated with a league. At one point, Reebok was the manufacturer for the NFL and the NHL.
Facts.
You know, and then they lost both of those contracts to Nike and Adidas, respectively. And, you know, there's just only so much
Reebok
you can
do. Under the Adidas umbrella up until maybe a year ago.
True, true.
And I get what you're talking about, Terry, because they do the one-offs. Like, you can still get the questions, they'll drop them here and there, or the you know, the Reebok,
the kamikazes.
You can't find those Shaq pumps that the ones you talking about that's cold.
I got them a few years back.
How much you paid for them? Well, I ain't gonna count.
They
your
was like $125.
Well, you got lucky then, because they $400-$500 right now. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, with Shaq, to his point, to Jay Morris' point, like, is it a possibility for him to possibly revive the brand? Like, I'm talking about make Reebok cool again.
It depends on who he brings along with him.
Okay.
Whoever he sets up in that boardroom and is pressing the buttons and moving the chess pieces on the board is what's going to make the difference here. Because just like what I was saying with Jay, with Puma, Puma was making a little bit of noise before he stepped on. And a lot of people don't even know he has anything to do with Puma.
True.
But once he got on, you notice a lot of NBA stars start signing with Puma again.
True.
J. Cole has his own lifestyle sneaker, which is also a basketball sneaker as well. Their silhouettes just got doper. And it's a matter of getting the right people in the situations to, because nobody's going to dish you because you got on some Reeboks.
Nah,
Reeboks have not went that far out the window to where.
No, like Spalding's.
Yeah, nah.
I hate him.
Wait a minute, Avia. Remember Avias?
Somebody might give you some props for having on some clean Avias.
If you got a pair of clean Avias on now, you might get some peas.
Yeah, because you've had them for 30 years in a box somewhere.
there are a few border brands. It was like Skechers, New Balance.
Skechers.
New Balance. I'd take New Balance over
Skechers.
Can't
make a whole lot of money.
But you know why New Balance for a long time did not have any celebrity endorsers, or at least the NBA.
I feel like you about to put me on game.
I certainly am. Because they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and endorse an athlete. And they picked James Worthy. And it was like, James Worthy.
Hey, Worthy, New Balance is cold, though.
Yeah, but you know why they decided? Because it wasn't that long after that, James got caught up in a hotel room.
Oh, here you go.
With cocaine?
With some women that wasn't his wife.
Oh, and
apparently,
man.
He'd give them a little money, too.
Oh, man.
And not to, you know. So that's why they're like, you know what? We're getting out of the endorsement game because we're so tied into this. I think it's only recently, I think with Kawhi Leonard, of all people. Yeah.
Them trash, by the way. I've yet to see one of his
New
from
Balance,
his line.
New
cold.
Balance every day and running
shout out
shoes.
James Worthy. I'm sorry.
Don't disrespect
James
Worthy.
He's still a great player, but that's just kind of what happened.
You know, he had a lapse. That's all right.
Matches the brand.
Clarence Thomas is still one of the judges.
I'm talking about Kawhi. I'm not talking about James.
So, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, so.
He's still one of the supreme judges.
Hey, New Balance 574 is an unbeatable, undefeated shoe. I don't care what nobody say.
You know what's not what's really undefeated. Those gray Nikes that I bought at Shoe Carnival for only $39.95. Those are the most comfortable shoes I think I've ever owned.
I ain't here to diss
say you like dad shoes without saying you like dad shoes.
Yeah.
I ain't knocking nobody that shops
shoes.
I'm not knocking anybody that shops smart when it comes to shoes.
I'm not either.
If the ones you talking about, I don't know. I might be cool on them.
If I'm spending my money, I spend money on like a good pair of like dress shoes that I never wear.
I don't know.
I wear dress shoes
like brunch boots.
Yeah, exactly.
You buy them new Timberland brunch boots?
I don't know about that. I wear like nice shoes for wine after work. That's the only time
nice
I throw
pair
a pair
of yaks on. That's for wine about after work. I saw that. Yeah, you had nice. Yeah, I saw that. Right. What'd you say, Long? I'm sorry.
Sometimes we got to mark time when we talk about certain things.
Oh, you're right. Yep. You're right.
But
go ahead, man.
Yeah. Never mind. I buy shoes like once every year or two, buy like three at a time, three pairs at a time. And I'll be like,
you're a bad person to talk to about when it relates to this. I agree.
Now I am particular with what I pick out, but
I'm a sneakerhead and I haven't bought a pair of shoes all year.
Because you're a responsible person and father.
You're a grown man.
Yeah. Businessman.
Yeah. Grown man.
Don't get me wrong. I had a time where I used to buy shoes all the time, but it was the
long
way. I can't say nothing because
it's long wear 12 and a half. You know. Like there was like when I used to work at Finish Line, it'd be like two boxes of 12 and a half and everything else is 12 and 13.
Like I have a closet full of hockey jerseys, so I can't say nothing about anybody who has a closet full of shoes. So
I collect
whatever your vice is.
Hey. True.
I collect pocket shirts. Mm-hmm. So my birthday's next year.
He said my birthday's next year.
I got one next year as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Go to Walmart and find a pocket shirt for loan and t-shirt and hook
him
up.
Got a pocket on this whether sexual leaders or pocket shirt.
Yeah. He's out of his mind about them Shagnosis. They still going.
Man, those are
I
don't not think so. Tight, man.
I don't think I'd ever wear those.
Yeah, you would.
No, there was nobody who was
they just made your foot look stupid.
Yeah. Nobody was really checking for those when they came out.
Hey, them pumps that he had, though, was fire.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Now, those, you still got yours, you said?
I do.
What you going to do with them?
I mean, they just chilling.
You cracked them up yet?
Yeah, I wear my shoes.
Remember when Shaq tried to come out with like some shoes that weren't they're like dunk.net or something shoes.
He had that phase.
And they would light up when they.
Now, then was Dada's, wasn't they?
Was it Dada?
No, Shaq.
That's another
Shaq
brand
with Dada,
you forgot about.
Chris Webber was with Dada.
Chris Webber and Sprewell were with Dada. Sprewell had the ones that spin.
That had the actual
rim spinner. Yeah.
I was like, what type of.
I remember Tommy Hilfiger tried to make shoes. He probably still does.
Probably. I know he definitely make a good pair of loafers.
Yeah. I'm talking about tennis shoes.
Oh.
It ain't last too long though, if I remember right. I could be wrong, but
somebody out there buying
Tommy Hilfiger.
Nah, I ain't trying to see you hooping them.
Nah.
Somebody buying them.
I mean, but it's crazy. I was working at Finish Line during the trash collab era, like the S Dot era, the Lugs, Birdman era. Like I saw all those bad shoes come through.
Funk Mr. Flex.
The spinner with the spinners, like Terry said on the side. Like I saw all those terrible shoes, and people would come in and be like, "Hey man, you got them joints that got the in it?"
No, I'm cool.
And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm cool, but I'm like, yes sir. Would you like a pair?
Working on commission, you better sell them.
You better sell them some shoe cleaner while
you need
an
insole with that.
Yeah, exactly. You was one that dude. You sold all the upgrades, didn't
listen,
you?
Man, listen.
Get you a pair of socks.
I got some 97 Air Force Air Max joints.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on to those. I mean, I think I saw those. Hold on to them.
I'll gift them to somebody if they wear the shoe size
12 and a half.
They're 12s.
Oh.
They're kind of narrow.
Mm.
You know?
Max, that's a classic shoe, though.
They're gifted to me, and they fit for the most part, but like wearing them out.
Mm.
They still was in decent shape, too.
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to put a little something on them. And
you've been trying to get them ever since the night you got them.
Mm-hmm. They were randomly gifted to me, so shouts to
them. Yeah, we might be able to clean them up when you're ready. But nah, man, there were some big players in Reebok, but... Like I'm with y'all.
Brown.
It depends on like when I saw this.
I was a D Brown fan.
Hey, he got that right after he won that dunk contest. He got that.
Bro, when I saw this, I was like, please bring these pumps back.
The Black Top brand was actually pretty dope when it came.
They don't remember that.
No, I remember. I remember Sinbad was one of the people who endorsed that.
Was.
Shout out to Sinbad.
Yeah, because he wears sneakers.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson had a pair.
Because he wears Snickers. L.A. Gears.
Yeah.
Did they light up?
They tried to sue him.
I feel like Michael, like, no. Michael Jackson's probably lit up, didn't they?
No, man. They didn't
they
light
had
up.
A bunch of buckles and chains on them.
Yeah. L.A. Gear.
It was the Michael Jackson bad era.
I feel like if there's any grown-up that could sell shoes with lights on them, it'd be Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, definitely. 100%. I think the Dream
That's
had...
That's why he's better than Drake.
By far. I think...
I mean, it's a weird thing, but yeah.
I think the Dream had a pair of L.A. Gears.
The Dream?
Elijah Wan. Because I know he did.
I was like, I thought you were talking about the Dream. Like, yeah. I was like,
the songwriter, the artist?
I'm not buying any shoes because the Dream had them.
Hakeem?
Yeah.
They was called the Air Falsettos.
Right? Well, he had Spalding's, right?
He had Spalding's too, but I maybe he didn't have L.A. Gear. It was somebody in the league, I feel... Back when we were kids, I had an L.A.
Ewings.
He had Etonics.
Oh, he still get emotional about Ewings. Ewings.
Yeah, not. I didn't say. Did I say Ewing? I meant Elijah Wan.
No, yeah, he said
Elijah Wan had Etonics.
He had Spalding for a minute too, though.
Oh, I got the Etonic joints.
Are you still upset about them? The Dream Team Ewings.
I mean. I obviously wanted the Jordans or well, my first pick was the Barclays, the 180.
You talking Olympic. About, is this like an old story or something?
Yeah. He back in 92, when the Barcelona Olympics happened, you know, that's when the Dream Team was, super popping. So
super.
Everybody had a pair, well, not everybody, but a lot of people had their own shoes on that team. Mm. So you had the Barclays, which to me were the best ones out of all of them. Barclays and then the Jordans, and then you had the Ewings. I was at a stage in my life where the only thing I could afford were the Ewings. So those are the ones I got. And
Kenny Johnsons?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
The only fault those Ewings had were the tongue was huge on them joints.
Yeah.
And they look good until you put them right beside, like some 180s.
It's kind of like when people say, oh, a Chrysler 300 looks like a Bentley.
You put it right next to one.
And then you pull, like that happened in Broad River one night. Like somebody parked their Chrysler 300 right next to a Phantom.
Bentley. And why would you want to do that to yourself?
I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's a super budget Bentley.
Yeah.
When Jay-Z was talking about what's the difference between a 3.4 and a 3.6, the price range between that Bentley
that
and
Bentley
that,
and that Phantom
that 300 is miles apart.
Oh yeah, the 300 and the Phantom. Yeah.
I ain't gonna leave you out there bad. It was 4.0 and a 4.6.
Oh,
but
well,
I felt where you was
you know,
going.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I felt where you
but
was
it's
going.
Still it's like a 9.6 and a 2.8.
And on that note. Let's go ahead and
I couldn't afford none of them, so you know.
Yeah.
Be clear.
We was talking about cars before we started. Shout out to the chat. I appreciate y'all as always. Y'all are lit and are already popping. Shout out to Trey. He says it always comes back to biscuits. Appreciate you, man. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our normal rundown. So Versus got busy over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hip
shout out to Slade.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Slade. Says that he does that impression better than anybody of Karis One, who Red August hates. He almost threw that can of biscuits at me. So Kane and Karis One had their Versus battle, and it turned out to be more. I got the vibe of like just a celebration of hip hop. Like it wasn't a. I didn't hear them saying, you know, talking down on the next generation or doing nothing corny. It was just a...
Why would they do that, Michael?
I mean, you know, it happens sometimes. KRS-One don't care. Like, he's one of the few people where I'd be like, he might come out and just diss everybody. You never know with him because he's always lit. My dude, Nate Jeezy, sent me a note from, or actually a post from DJ Scratch. And DJ Scratch showed the itinerary. KRS-One went completely off everything that was set up in terms of the itinerary, how it was supposed to come on and how it's supposed to start. I guess he just got, you know, the
Kid
vibe.
Kid Capri was wondering why he was getting bodied for a minute.
Bruh, they were going at it, man. But I like that they had the DJ aspect. They had the breakdancing aspect of
the
it.
The elements.
The elements. Like
the thing
it was
they didn't have was somebody doing graffiti.
Bingo. So to me... It actually held my attention, and we've talked about Versus. We know Lone hates them.
Versus battles,
yes. But this, and you could also, I don't know, Jay Moore, I'll come to you first. I know you saw it, you said after the fact, but some of that old Bronx and Brooklyn came out too. Like Kane, he said a couple slick things, and you know, talking about Shan and all that stuff back in the day, and it got a little heated for a little bit, but at the end it ended up being, you know, us all love. It was just the competitive nature, but I thought it was a win, man. And I also thought it was dope to see artists that we grew up on, like Busta and, you know, Fat Joe, people like that. They were fans. Mad like Lion. They were, huh?
Mad Lion.
Yeah, like
I mean, Mad Lion was there. So
he was there, and he looked the same. I don't know how, but he looked the exact same. But
juices and berries, man.
Juices and berries. But to see those guys be fans again was dope, because Ninth Wonder was there. He went live. He was like, I have to go to see this. I thought the entire event was dope. The merch actually got me with the nostalgia. So kudos to them, man. I enjoyed watching it. I think it's one of the best ones they put on. Would you say the same, Jay Moore, or what were your takes on it?
Well, you got to understand, I'm 44 years old. So okay. I remember seeing My Philosophy debut on Yo MTV Raps. I remember seeing Ain't No Half Steppin', you know, at 9 o'clock, you know, on Yo MTV Raps when it was only a 30-minute show once a week. And I was so into hip hop at that time, just in my infancy of really being into the culture. I would memorize the order of the videos because it would come on at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But then they'd run it again at 9 that night. And I knew, okay, these are the videos I want to tape on the family VCR. You know what I'm saying? Taking y'all back. You know, I enjoyed it because partially it's just another example. And even though they didn't talk about the young rappers, I'm going to talk about them. Here's another example. Here are two guys in their 50s who can get up on stage just by themselves, no backing tracks.
Talk to them.
And just rhyme.
30-year-old rhymes.
You know, and the thing is, like, that's where a lot of times where I say I'm not impressed with newer hip hop, not because I don't think artistically it's where it needs to be, but it's because hip hop is about being able to perform in front of an audience. And here are two guys in their 50s reciting rhymes that are at least 30 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I just threw a number.
At least there. 30 years old. Not
they were teenagers when they came out.
Not yeah. be out of breath and be able to kick it like their lives depended on it, even though they're already legends at this point. So
yeah.
I just enjoy that aspect. Cause like I said, we talked about it a few episodes ago about, like, you know, if you only have two hit songs and you can't memorize the words to those songs, then maybe this hip hop thing is not for you. So I'm going to get off of talking bad about the younger generation and just talk about what I enjoyed about this particular situation. And first, on paper, it really looked like KRS-One washed. That's where the performance is so important.
Thank you.
There are a couple of places where I'm like, why did he play that? Why did he play? But I say that with every verses. But one of my favorite moments is when, you know, of course, you know about the battle between the mm-hmm. Juice Crew and just the whole Bronx. The fact that Big Daddy Kane came out on stage and brought up Roxanne Shanté and said, look, if it wasn't for Roxanne Shanté, there wouldn't be a Biz Markie, rest in peace.
Facts.
And if it wasn't for Biz Markie, there would be no Big Daddy Kane. So, you know, the fact that, like, these guys said, look, we wouldn't be here for this woman if it weren't for this woman. I thought that was big for the culture, because I don't think women get their props within hip hop ever, especially when we're talking about that early. Like, they talk about Salt and Pepper, and then they act like, and then they give props to Queen Latifah, but they always leave out Roxanne Shanté. I love that Agreed. She got her movie, but at the same time, they don't talk about what she did to put these men on who eventually create, like, you know, because once again, if she doesn't do that, then there's no, then Big Daddy Kane doesn't look out for Jay-Z.
That was definitely a big moment.
So for me, that was a big moment.
Yeah,
that was a big,
I agree
but
with
I,
that.
Once
I
again,
agree
because
that.
I love the performance part of hip hop, you know, two dudes that can just get on stage with microphones and talk a little bit of ish back and forth, but still be able to be in their zone. I appreciate that, because some, like I said, some of these verses, I'm like, all right, we should have kept this to 10 records maybe. And, you know, and then we could have all left. But once again, I'm 44 years old, so I have a different, this, when these guys were really, you know, coming into the game, this is when I was really just soaking up hip hop And so it meant something different to me than probably if somebody who was like 25, they'd have been like, oh, these old guys, I remember that. Yeah, I heard my dad played that record, or like that sample comes from one of these songs, you know? So like I said, it's the first verses in a long time where I could say, yeah, not only was I excited for it, but I enjoyed it.
It held my attention.
So shout out to KRS-One. Shout out to Big Daddy. I hope the streams go crazy this week because they deserve it. And
they announced the tour as well. They're going to go on tour.
And once again, all you youngsters who think you can get out here and lip sync, you know, if you can't do it like these 50-year-old men showed you what it is to be a performer.
100%. And that was one of my biggest takeaways, because we did talk about that. And to see these dudes go out there and just remember, you know, all those bars and still be able to perform them and had a crowd. Like KRS-One was doing joints where he'd say every other word and the whole crowd was finishing his sentence. Like everybody in there knew the records. Like it was just
It was a lot of people there who were probably my age.
Yeah. I mean, the crowd fit. Like it was like 120 something in there on IG. And then you got to think about the venue. Like it had to be.
Definitely gonna be in New York.
Yeah, like it just works. Like it was a good vibe. I know Lone said he didn't get a chance to see it, and I think Terry, you said you didn't get to see it.
I had the chance.
Oh, sorry, you had the chance. declined, right?
Yeah.
Terry said he hadn't gotten around to it. So since we're talking about verses, I'll ask you gentlemen this, and then we can go on to our next topic. One thing I noticed is that Buster goes to all of these. Like Buster's in the crowd, he's talking. And I had this argument or conversation with my dude, Nate Jeezy. And I told him, I don't think Buster is the one person that I would not want to do a versus against now that they have the performance element. Is that fair to say that like he pretty much it takes someone of a high tier to go against Buster? When you think, I'm not talking records, I'm talking about records and performing them. Who, like, is there anybody that will be able to, you know, present their records better than him? I don't think so.
I've never seen Busta perform live, so I don't know.
Man, he's nuts. It's crazy.
So, I mean,
I've seen him a handful of times. Busta is probably one of the best performers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like him and Flip Star doesn't get his credit.
Yeah, Flip. Yeah, Flip.
I mean, it's Flip. I'm saying Flip. But Flip Squad is the greatest.
Yeah, Flip Mode.
It's all right.
I'm all over the place.
It's all right. It's all right,
man.
It's all right. You got friends. It's all right.
I do.
It's all right.
How many of us have them?
There you go.
But nah, Busta Rhymes is one of the best performers I've literally ever seen. And when he was younger, he was climbing all over stuff. So he would climb up the light thing, and Spliff would be hyping him up the whole time. Mm. Yeah, so he goes off. But as far as verses concerned, although I did not see the Big Daddy Kane KRS-One verses, I think it was a solid situation as far as putting that together for hip hop.
Yes,
because it's definitely the thing. What people don't understand is hip hop. It's a young man's game, but it has grown.
Yeah.
And so these same people that were young when they first came out and were holding the torch back then are still going strong. And they're still literally touring this same music. That's why they're able to perform it at this caliber. And not to take anything away from the young cats that don't spit over or do spit over their own tracks.
Yeah.
You have older cats that are doing it too. I mean, mm-hmm. we saw that with the Diplomats and Lox battle, when the Lox were spitting theirs from the chest, you know, from the lungs, and the other ones, Dipset, were just rapping over their vocals.
Well, so, yeah, but those dudes are in their 40s.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm saying if you're 19.
What's the name? Dipset and Lox are the same age.
Yeah.
I mean, Eminem, one of the greatest, he performs his shows. A lot of tracks have dubs behind it.
Yep.
Is it ad-libs though, or is it the full track?
I mean, it depends.
Stop, man.
I mean, I wouldn't say the whole thing is the whole track, but
okay.
He definitely has some added energy.
I mean,
in order to kind of
what do you think?
I think I got somebody for Buster though.
You think you have somebody? Who?
If it's Buster,
okay,
and he gets to have Spliff Star,
okay.
Chuck D gets to have Flavor Flav.
Nah.
Have you ever seen Chuck D perform?
I've seen him perform, but I've seen, like I said,
because if we're talking about the performance
I've seen
aspect.
Both of them perform.
Nah.
and Busta Rhymes' performance and Chuck D's performance are not in the same league.
Are they gonna have? Are they gonna have like?
And that ain't taking nothing away from Chuck D. Chuck D is a pioneer in this game.
Facts.
He's great, but the energy that Busta Rhymes has, even in his lyrics,
it's different. His flow, man.
His presence is. I mean, his name is Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, and Chuck D gave him that name.
Yeah,
tie it all together.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I don't know, bro. Russ is tough.
And once again, it might be my age talking. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, shout out to Public Enemy. I get it. I ain't sleep, but I don't know, man.
Because I'm just thinking if Chuck can be out there with Flav, and
he's entertaining.
And then
I need a big ass clock.
As much as I love Busta, it's a lot of. But you know when it's time for you to be able to hear every single word clear and concise, and you see something, and you see another 50-year-old man.
What you got, Long?
Running back and forth across the stage.
Busta will bring his energy down and spit it softly for you, so you can understand exactly what I'm telling you.
Facts,
and then turn it right back up on you.
What you about to say, Lone? I saw you.
This is the same thing Terry's saying. Really, I feel like Busta Rhymes. He says a lot, and he's. You can always tell what he's saying. He's very articulate with
it's
his
crispy
with his rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe it's just I'm just saying those are two of my as far as
he might be decent.
Two of my favorite performers. You know, I mean, as far as hip hop performers, it's Busta, Chuck D,
MC Hammer.
MC, I'm not even gonna front. Yeah, MC Hammer.
Yeah. I see what you was doing, but we're gonna take Hammer.
And rest in peace, Heavy D. Those dudes put on shows.
Yeah, we're gonna take Hammer because Hammer's show. Say what you want. They had the 60 people and
look, even when he had to pare it down, when he was him and the two girls from Oaktown 357, let's get it started. Come
B-N-G-B.
On,
Angie B.
And act like you didn't love it.
No, I'm with you, man. I was with it. I just think it's a win. It's a win for hip hop, and I was it kept my attention because there have been a lot of verses where I'm like, I feel like Long right now. I'm cool. But this one kept my attention, and it felt like more of a celebration than giving flowers.
A lot of times when verses come on, I'm always busy doing something. So I usually gauge and kind of hear what people say about it and then watch it later anyway. I'm not somebody that's about to sit around and watch verses as soon as it premieres.
Yeah.
Unless I have absolutely nothing to do at that point in time.
When it hit during the pandemic, we had nothing else to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Right.
So now it's a little bit different.
Here's something that I did hear about verses.
Oh, man.
So you do know they're having this competition to be like the official versus DJ.
It's $1 million prize.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I've heard from some of my DJ friends who are good DJs. That some of the contestants are extremely bad.
Yeah.
Really?
Like,
yes.
Laughable bad.
Y'all better get in there. The homies better get in there.
Hey, man.
Like,
somebody with skill isn't getting that bag, unfortunately.
Mm.
So you saying it's going to be politics over skills?
Man, I'm talking, this one lady that was on there apparently got dragged.
Oh, for
religiously
real?
On Twitter for how bad
there's
she
video
was.
Of it, or are these just comments?
Shouts to Metronome because he tried to show me the video, but I couldn't find it, or he couldn't find the video of what was
it's kind
of
like. I don't know if y'all remember that DJ show. It was a DJ competition show at one point in time.
Oh,
on
VH1. Yeah, I remember that.
And it was somebody on there that was trash, and I dragged him, and he responded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'm just like, hey, that set was trash. You
Sorry.
On national TV. You want me to keep it real? Set was trash, and you are one of the contenders on this show. I know people that will bother you in your sleep.
I like how Terry was like, he just put him on notice, let him know why he was trash bashing. You was on national TV, fam. Like, I can bet, like, you were trash.
You're like,
so national
I'm not
TV.
The only person that thinks this.
Yeah.
It's just plays to the fact that, like, it's this popularity culture,
Listen,
man. Like
it is.
If you go to Vegas and you look at the marquees and you look at the posters of people that are up.
Yeah.
It's all about the look, man.
Yeah.
You have to have this certain look and this certain stigma about yourself in order to really get this paper out here as a DJ.
And
it has nothing to do with your skill set, because if it has something to do with your skill set, Jazzy Jeff will be out here cleaning the floor with everybody.
Right.
Not to say he's the best, but the fact that he doesn't have a residency in Vegas.
Man, I'm so glad you said that, man.
I mean, he's doing all right.
He's not. He's doing
no,
very
Jeff
good.
Fine. He
but
fine.
I'm just saying,
yeah,
the
fine.
Fact that he doesn't have a residency in
right.
Vegas.
I agree.
Is crazy. But
I agree 100%.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Jeff, it's also about what they want
to
hear.
If you're booked in Vegas, yeah, let me know what I have to do to get a residency.
Yeah, if Long get a residency,
play cocaine music.
We taking a show on the road.
Oh, okay.
We taking a show on the road.
Cocaine. Not that cocaine.
Not that. Yeah, yeah.
You play that in Vegas, you might clear the floor.
Clear the floor to go talk to the white lady.
And
all right,
that's a great place to end this. Red August, can we shout out our partners real quick?
Our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. Sun King Brewery is what we're drinking on every episode. Check out their many local locations, and they might just be selling in your city if you're not in Indianapolis. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
So I saw an article on Complex that talked about up and coming new British rap producers. Mm-hmm. And it says meet the British rap producers ready for the world stage. And it got me to thinking about influence, because I think Jay Moore said it prior to us going on. We were talking about, and I was telling Lone, how, you know, when drill music came out big in Chicago, obviously here, and then there was a version that started to grow over in the UK where they kind of pulled from the Chicago drill sound and the drill sound that was here, and they adapted it and took their own spin on it, but it still has some of the same elements of the drill, but it's a little different from production grime standpoint. Is that what it is?
Grime.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I know it's big, and I've seen some of the videos, but it got me to thinking, with these producers that are coming up, you know, up and coming producers that are adapting the sound and, you know, taking, you know, elements of certain sounds that we have over here. Do you guys ever think, maybe in hip hop or just in music in general, because I always look at it as musically, the U.S. is the heavy influencer. And then if you look at it, it's kind of like the opposite of fashion. From what I've always told, overseas is ahead of the U.S. in fashion. But if you look at it from a music standpoint, it's like, I always feel like we are the influencers, and then, you know, overseas will take it and make their own adaptation to it or whatever.
There's always exceptions to the rule.
That's why I want to have a conversation. Do you guys ever see it getting to the point where the UK is maybe driving the sound?
No.
No.
You don't. Okay, mm-mm. Go ahead, Jada. If you said that quick,
well, beyond the UK. Let's
I don't want to pigeonhole the UK. Good point, Lone.
Somewhere
just,
besides the United States.
Yeah, beside the United States.
I mean, if people want to be technical, they're saying that Drake is the best rapper right now. So I mean,
Canadian.
Okay, that's
but
fair.
I mean, it's technically the same continent.
But you said no, really quick.
Touching, but nah, I don't see that, because I mean, the UK and other countries have always had a flash in the pan as far as artists that are very talented. I mean, everybody remembers, we may not have been alive, but we remember hearing about the British Invasion, which were the Beatles.
Yep.
The Rolling Stones.
Stones. You Adele. Had Genesis with Phil Collins.
And, Adele, M.I.A.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
So, I mean, this has been going on for years and years. Elton John.
Yeah.
Billy Idol. What's his name? David Bowie.
I was going to say Billie Holiday, but I was just going to be trolling.
Oh, yeah, my God.
David Bowie.
I saw it coming, too. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Queen. There's always people that are exceptions to the rule and can push the sound and control the stage and rule that moment in time or whatnot. But at the end of the day, the influence is us. I mean, that's not to be... to put us on a high horse or anything. This is just a big melting pot of great musical energy and lots of talented people that are literally coming up with the sound, and people are running with it and putting their own influence into it as well.
Okay.
But nobody actually has came over and just planted the flag and said, this is ours now, we're taking it with us, mm-hmm. and we're going to control the market from here on out. That just doesn't happen.
Lone, jump in there, man. Is there possibility for this, or is it just gonna? Because he made a good point with naming. I'm talking about iconic. You know what you say? You kind of said like one offs, maybe, or you know people that are just.
God,
that,
these were people that sold records.
I'm talking about legendary though. Oh, yeah. They were legendary though. That's what I'm saying.
I think it depends on what exactly we're talking about. So,
Because this drill sound that's over there is like,
well,
it's popular.
It's grime, and grime came out in the late 90s, 2000s. Mm-hmm. That was before drill music in Chicago, right. And that's been big over there for a very long time. But what we're referencing right now is a lot of westernized music.
Yes.
Okay. The world is a lot bigger than westernized music. If you just think about K-pop, is absolutely huge, right? Yeah,
that's
agreed.
True.
If we're going to talk about the different cultures and the different cultures of music around different African influenced music.
Afrobeat is hot right now.
But also Brazilian and Latin music, stuff like that, and reggaeton and stuff like that. That's
Sango.
Different.
Sango is
that's
literally different. A producer that is mixing those tones and making
fire
vibes off of it. Yeah,
fire.
Granted, he's from Ann Arbor or Seattle, I think. Something about that. I think he grew up in Ann Arbor. But, I think it kind of just depends. Like when we talk about, I think it depends on like what exactly we're talking about. If we're talking about straight hip hop music, then I would agree with Terry, because I feel like this is where it originated from and where everything kind of blossoms from it, right? But I definitely think there will be different spawns of it and different styles. Like we're probably not going to have a huge Japanese hip hop culture here that's bigger than something that's in Tokyo.
From an end.
You know what I mean?
I follow you.
And that style or whatever, you know, like grime is definitely a UK thing and it's big in the UK. So, you know, to be honest, I don't really know any stateswide grime artists that I can think of. Either.
See, when I,
and I don't think I want to hear any, to be honest.
I don't either. Because if you want me to keep it 100, unless you're singing and you're from the UK.
Okay.
I don't really care to hear a whole lot
like
of
the accents.
I don't. I can't really get with it like that.
And I watch some of the videos and that's
type to the butcher.
Cut it out, man. Cut it out. I watched some of the joints and I'm like, yo, this production is crazy, but culturally I can't get past what you're talking about. It's like I'm trying, but I can't really get into the pocket where it's like,
that's the thing. See,
I can rock with it.
The it's not reciprocated as far as what they do, as far as us receiving it, like they receive how what we do over there.
Yeah.
Because we're pretty much setting a bar and they're like, well, we can do that too.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with them doing it, but the influence doesn't come back unless now when you speak from a producer point of view,
mm-hmm.
I can see it. It can cross over in that way. But as far as the actual artist, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. I think the production has, I would agree with that. Would you loan in terms of the production having a better chance to have impact versus,
I mean,
you know, with the,
I see it already.
Okay.
So like there's a lot of really, really dope foreign to us producers.
Yes.
Especially
Foreign Exchange is one
Nicolay,
of
the Suff Daddy,
facts.
You know, like German producers, you know, Jakarta Records.
And K Trinata
Montreal. Yeah.
Shout out to the Jersey.
Production wise,
back in the building.
All over the place. But what the interesting thing about that, now you're dipping into like a little bit of where you say the lone artists, right?
Yes, because I love lone artists.
This is like the B-side stuff we used to share on Bringing Down the Band. But like there are a lot of producers from different countries that embraced hip-hop culture in the late 80s, early 90s, 2000s, and ran with it and never left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just expanded it and like flipped it. Instead of going the way that kind of American pop hip-hop kind of took it, you know, like once, you know, like the early 2000s, they just kind of took the Dilla-esque sound, I guess, kind of in a way, and kind of crafted their own thing. When you think of Eric Lau, I think he's actually from here, but there's so many producers. Yeah.
There's a guy
I can just name
the first
off,
person that comes to my mind.
Somebody that's from Finland is really dope. I can't remember his name.
Mm. There's a guy named that was M Phases.
M Phases, yeah.
He's tough.
Yeah,
now I haven't followed him like I used to.
Astronaut from France.
Tough.
He's crazy good.
Yeah, he's tough. So it's out there. I agree with you. It's definitely out there.
Now, is it gonna like change culture or anything? I don't know. In that sense of kind of what the the question is posed as. I don't think it's, but there's a huge underground movement around that sound.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah, that's similar.
But I could dig it.
But just the beat, the beats, like the beat related stuff.
And there's always.
And the neo soul-ish.
Neo, so.
Yeah, neo soul-ish.
Neo. Can you spell that?
Neo.
Spell it.
N. E-A-U-X.
He said neo, so.
N-E-A-U-X. O-H.
Okay. So I got you. Go ahead.
Neo.
I got
you. So, neo. And the neo, I'm always going to say that from now on. So good. The neo soul stuff that fuses a little bit of the hip hop with the singing and the soulful stuff.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Floetry. We didn't mention them.
We didn't mention Floetry.
We didn't mention Les Nubiens.
But that is lived. That's lived on strong in different countries.
And so there are a lot of producers, to your point. You know, I'll go down a rabbit hole on IG and I'll just see someone, you know, from overseas, and I find myself bobbing my head, like you said, like they took that, put their own spin on it, and it's extremely dope.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Extremely they can do dope. It, and they can do it well. I just don't see them taking it.
I mean, even in
hip hop, you have Slick Rick.
Yep.
You have Monie Love.
Yep.
These people are from the UK. Even right, 21 Savage is from the UK.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but he's born in the UK. None of his.
I mean, I was born in Guam. I'm not a Chamorrean rapper. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're not Guamish.
You dropped a bar right there. Okay.
He's not Guamish.
Chamorrean.
Jamore, put a bow on this, man. We got one more topic left.
I think like a lot of things that the United States does, they're going to be lifting a lot of things from Africa.
Yeah.
Very soon. I mean, Afrobeat. At one point I thought, okay, this is just a trend. People are going to be like, oh, it's cool. No, like. When I see that what WizKid is doing on not the international charts, but the hip hop charts here and the R&B charts and moving into the pop charts.
Yeah.
I can't help but to be impressed and feel like, and you know how America is. It's like, oh, if we can we get some more of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
Coffee literally won a Grammy her first track.
Yeah, so
which is Afrobeat song.
Another wild thing is like, you know, when I see these, you know, I during my Mondays when I get a chance to catch up on like a lot of television, that's my only real day off. I saw this thing about all these different hip hop scenes and drill scenes, if you will, from around the world, and the only one that impressed me was the hip hop scene in Ghana, of all places. There's a guy named Ya Tog, and he's got a song called Sore,
Fire,
which is featuring. He's got a remix of it with oh gosh, hold on, I think I pulled it up. Let me see.
From the
UK.
I'm sleep, but
Storm Z, okay. And this song, like I'll you know, just in the time where I'm working out songs. On a Friday or Saturday night, and just seeing what the reaction will be if I got a little small crowd. And every time I play it, they're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
That's a good sign.
You know, because people want to know because it's got a vibe. And even though if they don't understand all the words, they want to know what it is.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's going to be a situation to where, because, you know, in a streaming world, like there are no borders. If something is dope, and somebody puts you onto it. At one point, remember back in the day when you buy CD singles and they might have the this is from England. It might be the same thing, but it might be $12 to get that CD single. You know, that barrier is knocked down now. Like for you to get international music, all you got to do is have this phone.
That's it.
Yeah. And you don't have to wait on the gatekeepers to say, hey, there's somebody from England you should know about, or there's somebody from Ghana you should know about. Mm-hmm. Like, If I see something that I think is dope on a documentary on Vice, then I can look it up on Tidal or Spotify or whatever situation that you have as far as your streaming is concerned. And if you have the platform, small as it is that I do, you know, and I can get in there and play it for a few people and I get people asking me, what's this? That's how that, you know, that little spark of something is how something turns into a flame, then turns into an inferno for somebody who's able to create a real livelihood for themselves. You know, so
that's how Pete and Boss are going to be the biggest UK rappers.
Yeah.
So, hey, I ain't gonna lie. I've messed with Pete and Bosch.
So that's 100%. That's what's so, you know, everybody likes to complain about music and the way the industry is right now. But the thing is, it makes it so dope. There's music that I had to like get on to message boards back in the day, or I had to get on to like the little illegal downloading. If I remember pulling Flowetry stuff way before they got hot here, or, you know, Remy Shand, like some of y'all remember Remy Shand.
Craig David.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, Craig David had put out like a couple albums before, you know, they put him out over here. I didn't have to wait because like I knew how to get that stuff, you know, through downloading. But now we don't, you know, kids don't, and I say kids, you know, because that's, I'm old and we're the new old heads, like they don't have to go through all those hoops to kind of discover
not
music.
Even close.
All you got to do is say, hey man, you need to check this out, and then all of a sudden if you say that to enough people and enough people catch on and they start looking at the analytics and the numbers, all of a sudden, you know, a rapper from Ghana could be doing a show in, you know, New York or LA or Indianapolis, you know, and it doesn't take, you know, like the fact that Afrobeat went from just being this very niche thing, like you might have gone ahead and, you know, maybe a reggae DJ might have, you know, known there was some, you know, some Africans in the crowd and dropped a couple of records, to now, you know, there are whole Afrobeat nights in the Midwest. Like there's a whole, we're getting ready to do a whole Afrobeat night.
Oh, yeah.
And in Indianapolis, and it's gonna Indiana, go. And people are going to be into it. And it's something that can be done on a regular basis. And that wasn't something that could have happened 20 years ago.
They had them out. They had those events when I was out in D.C., DMV area, Maryland. Like, and it goes. Like, it goes up. It's
like
tough.
Like it goes up?
It goes up. Go, like, go. I see what you did. Yes. It goes up. Now, that's...
So,
that's,
yeah, I'm just saying that the future of I think... because you already see it. Justin Bieber had to go ahead and hop on him. Like he's already, you know, the
you're really on some Afrobeat right now, huh?
I'm just saying the future.
You just had a Spools moment when you talked about Parks.
Yeah. Yes, that's about, what this is
about Afrobeat.
I'm just saying the future. 100%. I'm putting it out here, and I could be completely wrong, but I feel like we're getting to a place where the future of pop music, and there's going to be a pocket for pop music that is specifically influenced by Afrobeat.
Hey, I'm all for that. It, man. If it's refreshing and it's dope, I like it. I'm all for it.
I still don't see anybody coming planting the flag in anything hip hop, taking it back and claiming it as theirs.
I'm not mad at that. Like I thought it was interesting. We'll I thought we'll it was see. Interesting. Like I said, we don't know.
Ghana got a scene, man. Shout out to everybody in Ghana, man.
I'm with it.
I see y'all from Indianapolis, Indiana. I see y'all over in Ghana.
We see y'all. So
out his front door, just like Sarah Palin.
Yep.
So that's
right over the hill.
That's good conversation, though. Like we'll see. Is what I always say. We'll see. But I gotta step my Afro game up because you dropping names and. You know, artists.
I got a whole folder devoted to Afrobeat.
Put your boy on, please.
I actually did a whole party Afrobeat like 3 years ago. That shows you how it is trending up and it's still continuing to go that way.
Can you throw your boy a lob? Send me a folder.
I mean, yeah, I'll give you a few tracks here and there.
No. Can you send me like the folder?
So, Mike, what's the next topic?
Why would I just give you the whole folder?
you take care of this after the show.
Sorry. I lost track of time. The Red August wasn't doing his job. Still got them biscuits. All right, so let's go into the last topic. shout out to XXL. I saw this. The title
is
says,
that still a thing?
Don't do that.
I'm asking.
Online. Don't do that. Online. They had a list which caught my attention because I think they got it on this one. You know, we've been through some bad lists. 15 weakest albums by great rappers.
All right.
And we've lived through... a lot of these. And
Art of War on there?
Probably. You hate Art of War.
No, we all hate the Art of War.
Everybody
who's listening to me might have the same experience to where you open up the Art of War and be like, oh, there's a song with Tupac on here. Because it wouldn't. And you listen to that and be like, oh.
And it was the first song on
the second disc. And then you'd be like, oh, man. The rest of this is not it.
Whatever. Lone loves Art of War. All right.
I've heard it.
So it starts off with Eminem Encore.
I don't think I heard it.
What's on Encore? Look, at a certain point, all of Eminem's records start to run together.
They do.
Lone said, I don't think I've heard it.
After like, he's got 2.5 in a row for me, and then it was just kind of like, okay, everything's the same.
Then it was all music for people who yell at their girlfriends in the mall.
After Curtain Call, he kind of.
I remember running Encore, and I don't remember anything after that. So
just like I don't remember anything off a Relapse. Yeah. I don't remember anything off. Like, it's, I'm sorry.
Now this one,
not made for me.
This one had heat and had low, mad low moments. Jay-Z, Kingdom Come. Now it's heat on here, but it's a lot of low moments in my opinion.
It's the worst album by this. The whole premise is the worst album by the artist.
Yes, weakest album.
Yep.
Yeah, are you in on that? Because Lost Ones is dope. Show me, not.
Show me what you got.
Yes, Show Me What You Got is dope. Is that pretty much it? Beast Chair is cold. Am I reaching after those three?
I only like two tracks off that.
Show Me What You Got. And Lost
Ones.
I
like the intro song.
The Just Blaze flip.
The Blaze Blaze.
Can't touch this.
It's a producer from St. Louis named DJ K9.
Oh my God.
He did a song. It was the
Yeah.
Are you talking about the interlude?
Yeah. That was the first. That was what made me thought, oh, this is about
Jay-Z. Always had a dope intro.
Shot DJ K9. I don't know if he did anything else after
that. I can agree with that though.
How did beat go for
life will be? Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, he flipped that sample though.
I like that one.
Album was trash though.
It wasn't trash, yeah, it wasn't, but it trash. Just wasn't. It
am
wasn't.
Am I overstating that?
If you're following up the Black album with that, yeah, okay, it's kind of like ah.
And then the next album is American Gangster.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I jump out the window there? It's calling
it's
it trash.
It's not trash, but
yeah, I mean, subpar.
Three out of 14 is not trash.
It wasn't his best showing.
Okay. Fair enough. Lil Wayne. Rebirth.
Yeah, that was that wasn't hidden.
He has a guitar actually, on his lap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. We don't even want to discuss
that
one.
Of that, man.
I was gonna say split it.
All right.
Here you go, buddy.
All right.
Help yourself.
Look at that.
I told you, man, I'm working.
Okay.
Man,
I'm working
in the mirror,
on,
man.
Right. I'm working on it. Terry ain't been frustrated once all day.
I don't know about that.
Well, not since he's been here. Big Daddy Kane, Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, that's when he started buying his own hype there.
Yeah, that's after his suit, he had posed in Playboy.
That white suit is fire, though.
Yeah, is that when he did the song with Barry White? And he was on some other stuff there.
Yeah, he was.
So we ain't going to discuss that. We're going to go ahead
I mean, like, because this is...
Seems like a good confirmation.
Yeah. I think let's move on, because we already gave some love to Big Daddy Kane. I want to get into talking about the album.
DMX, rest in peace. Year of the Dog, again.
Again? Cool. He had it again?
Hey, I didn't even...
I'm cool on the cover, too, because this dog is really mad on this cover.
I think that's the first album he had where he left Def Jam.
Yeah, I don't even remember this album.
Like
was that the one with Lord Give Me a Sign? I love that record.
Lord Give Me a Sign.
This dog is real mad on the album cover, bro.
He'd be mad too if he was on that album.
Maybe that's why he's mad. He's mad.
He's like, don't put me on this album.
Yeah, this dog did not want to be on this album cover.
Like, this dog thought I thought I was going to be on Death Jam.
I feel like a lot of these worst albums, like they're coming before or like after I already fell off of these artists.
That's okay. How about this one, Lone? You remember the Aftermath album by Dr. Dre? I do.
No.
It wasn't hidden. He had about four good songs.
It was about, I was about to say, about four heaters on there after that.
And where they messed up is the Been There, Done That when it breaks down.
That was fire.
Why they didn't use that for something?
Oh, they did. Razzcast used it for Ghetto Fabulous.
Man.
Good call.
Well, it wasn't on Aftermath.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Good call. But that Been There, Done That was fire.
Yeah.
Money, Power, Respect by the Lox.
I mean, that's a shiny suit era.
And that album, the weakest?
It wasn't that, terrible.
No. Let's
hold
not.
On. What was their first one?
That was their first
that's
one.
That's the first one on Bad Boy.
No, don't do that.
Because I only had one on Bad Boy.
Yeah. I think this is disrespectful.
Yeah.
This is disrespectful.
I don't think I agree with that one.
Yeah, get out of here with that.
I think this is disrespectful. That album is not weak.
That had...
There's some heat on there.
Eastwick... Yeah.
I mean, they got another record deal out for that.
Money,
so
Power, yeah.
That
come on.
Oh, now this is a good one to talk about. I hope Nate Jeezy's in the chat because we've talked about this album, The Dogfather.
Terrible
by Snoop.
Album,
but it got.
Is that the one with the woman walking in the doghouse?
No,
no, it's the.
Hey,
it's the one they put out.
Red August, what's up, man?
It's the one where the lead singer was Snoop's Upside Your Head.
Red August, he knows better.
That album was terrible. You cannot follow up Doggy Style with The Dogfather.
Hold on, man, but
You could tell he was shook.
Wait a minute.
No, it was because Dre had left and he had and DJ
Pooh. He was shook.
Shout out to DJ Pooh, but like, no.
Hold on, Terry. Wait,
I don't think Daz really did nothing on that album.
That is the worst Snoop album ever.
Yeah.
Hold on, Terry, real quick, though.
Nah, I'm telling you.
Follow me now. Follow me. Hold on.
I'm telling you.
Don't do that, Lone. Don't do that.
I mean, he's got a lot of albums.
No, he ain't got more than E-40.
Okay, that's a high standard.
Yeah, E-40 puts out a triple album every year.
All right, man. So the Dogfather, I feel like
the Dogfather I ever read.
Jay Moore, come on, man.
Nothing.
Give me one.
Nothing.
I revisit stuff off those No Limit albums.
Snoop's Upside Your Head.
That's the only one you remember.
There was a song called Blueberry that was kind of decent, and then he also remade like.
You remember the Vapors?
I mean,
do you?
I mean, it's the regular Vapors.
He remade a song I already liked.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man, y'all win on this one.
I mean, he did the same thing with Lottie Dottie, but I'm sorry.
Lottie Dottie worked, though.
Yeah, but he surrounded Lottie Dottie with a whole album full of stuff that was incredible.
Now, shout out to my dude, DeCarlo, man, because we used to play Sneakers until it went out. Raekwon and Mobility.
It wasn't a terrible album.
It was just hard. It's hard to follow up. Only built for Cuban Links.
But I would say it's probably his weakest album.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. I mean,
That's what the headline says. So
like,
that's the title.
And if I go back, I mean, I have nostalgic points for it, but there's really only like two songs I play off of that.
Sneakers is fire.
Yeah.
I love Sneakers. They used to play that in Finish Line at the crib.
Mm-hmm.
Now this, I agree with. Nostradamus was trash.
It wasn't trash.
Yeah, it wasn't
trash. Yes, it was. Project Windows is the best song on that album.
His lead single on it wasn't hot.
Project Windows.
It was, for the time, it was cool.
That's trash.
But you know what else is on Nostradamus?
What?
You Owe Me, which was probably his biggest radio hit up to that point.
And that song is not good.
Yeah. I mean, Madonna has radio hits.
Man, Project Windows is the best song on that album with Ronald Ivey.
Shoot 'Em Up was on there.
Yeah.
Shoot 'Em Up was dope.
That album is...
What you say, Long? Is weak?
I'm glad he came. I'm glad his next album was Stillmatic.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Let's just say disappointing.
Mace, Double Up.
Trash.
That, all right. Nobody likes that record.
Thank you. We ain't going to talk about that record. I've said this, and shout out to my homie Jesse. We argue all the time. Lasers by Lupe is his weakest album.
That's his best commercial release, but it's a terrible album in my opinion.
Is that his worst album total?
Yes.
I can't think of the last time I even listened to that record.
Lasers pissed me off.
I mean,
because the lead single, Beamin', was cold.
Beamin' was cold.
Oh yeah, yeah. And
this was the label.
This
album,
is when
right?
he. Yeah, yes. This is when he was going back and forth with Atlanta.
Because Lupe out the gate, the Food Liquor, which I think is a masterpiece.
And the cool.
Yeah, and the cool.
Like,
and the stuff he's put out recently is good too.
Coming out the gate with those two, I don't know what you're gonna do.
We talked about that album where he talked about dinosaurs on the first.
That album was wild.
I liked it though.
That's the project with Kaitlyn Ellis,
Who was a very dope producer, by the way. Yeah. We see you, young fella.
Yeah, Lasers wasn't it. Was Superstar on that album or was it?
No, Superstar was on The Cool.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite beats.
That was on the same album with Superstar.
It's on The Cool. One of my favorite random beats ever is Gold Watch on The Cool, where it sounds like it's chopped up, but people are talking through the whole beat in the back.
Come on. It's like, I know what you're saying.
I still love Dumb It Down. That still is my joint.
Oh, he murdered that. The Cool is brilliant, man. Like, if you look at the story and the characters.
Isn't Dumb It Down mixtape, Lupe?
No, Dumb It Down was a...
No, it was,
in fact, there was a video for Dumb It Down.
Yeah, there's a video for that.
Sure was.
He destroyed Dumb It Down. Like, that whole album is... If you look at the characters, how he weaves it in, it's brilliant. Kanye West, Ye. He's changed his name to Ye, by the way.
What was on Ye?
This was trash. I'm sorry.
What year was that?
I don't know.
Mike don't like any Kanye.
I would say a close second would be Donda.
No.
To this?
Mm-mm.
Nah, Donda's better. Well, yeah, Donda's better. It got 35 tracks. But
I think Donda has more songs that are bad
Yeezus
on it.
than the good ones. Yeezus is bad.
Ye's got, I mean, I whatever.
Yeah.
My Dark Twisted Fantasy, cut it from there.
And that doesn't
pure brilliance.
I'm telling you.
Up until that point.
That still doesn't age well with me.
My Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Mm-mm.
You did say that, didn't you?
I went back and listened to it recently.
This album of its time. This is the first time, Lone, where I can actually...
first three, maybe if you want to give him four for the Lone. One where he's singing. Like, those albums are just timeless.
Lone, this is the first time I can actually say that I can look you in your face and tell you, you are out of your mind if you don't like my Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Go back and listen to it.
Bruh.
Front to back.
He said that and I listened to it. I was like, this is very much an album of its time. When you listen to the features.
It's not that it's horrible. I'm not saying it's horrible.
It's not bad. But
I'm just saying like it didn't age as well as I had thought that it would when I was thinking about where I would put Kanye
Graduation
albums.
Is probably his best aged album.
I like Graduation the most. I like the two before that.
I thought the joint, but all the stuff
Twisted,
he did on
I love Dark Twisted
Late
Fantasy.
Registration with John Bryan. Like that's,
Late Registration
that still sounds incredible.
Yeah. Those all sound great, but My Dark Twisted Fantasy sounds overproduced to me.
You think so?
I gotta disagree on that. I enjoy it, but
and
I was
this is
like,
from a listen
again.
Like 3 months ago.
And yeah. I know you know what you talk about, so I respect it, both of y'all. But man, I love that album. Man.
I do too.
Like,
I mean, it has a special place. You know
that album's tough.
Yeah, I remember
riding around Chicago when the singles were coming out when you lived there.
Yes.
Going
yes.
to a live one.
I remember
you
was dropping
like
stuff every Friday.
I remember what I was doing and where I was.
Black Friday.
I remember when all the lights would drop in the Casbah. I've been at the Casbah a long time.
Devil in a New Dress. Man, like that's.
Devil in a New Dress, but yeah, that's.
Chain Heavy.
Oof.
Man, it's some heat on that album, bro.
That's not even on there.
Gorgeous with Raekwon. What? Gorgeous.
Go back and listen to it.
I'm gonna go back because I love that album myself. But I'll go back.
We're not trying to disparage your love for the album.
Don't do that.
Next album. Next story.
Cameron, Confessions of Fire.
Yep. Trash.
You good with it?
Isn't that his first album?
Yeah, it was cool. It was super mid. And he was real. The artwork is trash.
The song he had with Usher.
He was rapping more on this, but that album was mid than a mug to me.
Yeah. Even back then,
the album artwork is awful.
He didn't really hit his. He didn't really hit his stride really until he got a Def Jam and they started. It really pushed.
SD was tight.
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. SD was dope.
How about 50 Cent Animal Ambitions? Shout out to QB.
We don't even remember that record.
And my dude Not Sent because they had a record on this album.
I don't even know, man.
One of my young boys had a record on this album.
Yeah, I remember he had a song with like Trey Songz.
So that's the only reason I know it is because my homie Not Sent.
Nah, we good.
50, stay in your television bag. That's where you shine.
Okay. Hey, shout out to Meech and them. For the BMF show, that is incredible. But
that's where they cut it off.
What about Little Brother Get Back?
Ooh. Let me pull the track.
Let me pull the track.
Hold on.
Don't do that.
And what I'm going to say here.
Jay Moore says don't do that.
I agree with Jay Moore. But what I'm going to say is out of all of their projects, that might be.
Get Back.
That might be the weakest link of all their projects. Or is it Left Back? I always get those two confused.
Left Back came after Get Back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when they were pretty much.
Which one has Tigolo for Dolo on it?
Tigolo for Dolo is on Fonte's.
I guess it was Get Back.
Tigolo for Dolo is on Fonte's solo album, isn't it?
Mm. No.
Charity Starts at Home. Ain't that on that album? I thought that was on Charity Starts at Home.
One of the Little Brother albums started off with Fonte just rapping. Like rapping.
You said Get Back or Left Back?
I don't know.
I got both. I got it pulled up.
I don't remember which one.
All right, so Get Back had.
But would you agree that one of those two is probably their weakest out of their whole catalog?
Yes. Because you can't, the Minstrel Show and the Listing,
and
it's an impeccable catalog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right. I mean, these albums are still good, but to your point, if we're going to talk about weakest.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, I'm with you. No. All right, that's fair.
Which one has the Lil Wayne song on it?
That's Get Back.
Let's Get Back.
That's probably the one that I would
choose. Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
That's the one I would probably
say. After the Party was dope, too.
Yeah, I like that one.
Khalid Duran, that was dope.
I like songs from all of it.
Step It Up was dope. Step My Game Up, that was cold. But yeah, this doesn't, it don't hit me like The Minstrel Show or Listening.
Or even their new one.
The new one is dope.
Yeah.
The most recent one, I should say.
Make the Lord Watch.
Yeah, that's fire.
Chillin' Circuit stuff was dope.
Yeah, they had hella mixtapes. So... I'm with it. But is there anything else before Red August said I got to get out of here? I was going to say if there's anything else we forgot.
All right, we got a couple more. We can do it.
We can do it on the post show. So shout out to the chat. We see y'all. We appreciate you guys as always. Remember, just go to Google and search anything New Old Heads. You'll find us there.
Support us directly on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Please do. And also go to YouTube, subscribe.
Leave your comments so we can read them online.
Yes, hit subscribe and hit the bell for notifications on YouTube. And go to TikTok, man. We love the comments. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace. Minutes.